is our last year before Shavuos. Tomorrow is Erev Yom Tov. I don't think I'm going to be able to find a slot where I'd be able to give shir, and I assume most of you are kind of busy also. Okay, so what we're going to try to do today, we're going to try to cover Simanim Shin Mem Tes to Shin Nun Beis, although honestly, we're not going to go in exact order in these Simanim, and to be honest, if we want to do a proper job of Nivel HaMeis and the relevant issues relating to Nivel HaMeis, we're probably going to have to save that for a separate shir, meaning there are a lot of issues that come up with Nivel HaMeis, certainly for medical students, and you know, discussing the difference between Meisei Akum and Meisei Yisrael, and the history of Nivel HaMeis is also somewhat fascinating. So we'll get done what we get done today, and Be'ez Hashem, whatever we don't, we'll get done on Sunday, Be'ezras Hashem. Okay, so the Gemara in Maseches Moed Katan and Daf Chav Zayin and Beis tells us that Barishona, it used to be that the Hotzas HaMeis was Kasha Lekrova of Yoser Mimisoso. It's a startling expression the Gemara has, that the costs of burying a relative was more crushing to the family than the loss of the relative himself, than the death itself. Until they had to go and run away and go to a different city because they were trying to escape the bills from the cemetery or from the funeral home. Until Rabban Gamliel came along and he set an example that even though he was able to afford it, he left a tzava that he should be buried with clay pishtan, that he should that his tachrichim should be very simple tachrichim, they should do nothing fancy, and once Rabbi Gamliel had set that example, so that everybody else fell in line. This is aligned with someone emailed me the other day, one of the Talmidim emailed me the other day, that the Chabad Minog we spoke about of not giving Espedim, I explained that it was out of fear of being Mis'atzel Be'espedo Shel Chacham, but it was explained to me that that's not the primary reason. The primary reason is that it's if every, you give Espedim, so some people are going to have these elaborate Espedim, and some people are going to have very posh Espedim, and it's going to be embarrassing. So once even the greatest people don't have Espedim, then it's not embarrassing for anybody, then everybody's on the same plane, so everyone's treated this the same way. So over here also, this is what Rabbi Gamliel did. Rabbi Gamliel was no kalus ba'atzmo, even the great Rabbi Gamliel didn't have very fancy tachrichin, so nobody gets fancy tachrichin. And the Gemara goes on to tell us, and this Gemara appears in more than just in Moed Katan, I think it's in the Ksuvos as well, Rav Papa Amar, that Idna no galma b'tzar de barzuza, that nowadays the minig is to use some very cheap clothing. So the Ramah in Shin Nun Beis Sivkat Nalif quotes from Nimuka Yosef in Moikata Dafid Zayin Amar Alif Dibra Maschel Hi Ba'imo, that anyone who makes Tachrichim Naim for a mace, we're Makirim Bo, that he's Mod B'tchias Amesim, that he quotes a very favorable idea of Tachrichim Naim, of making nice Tachrichim, because obviously if you're making nice Tachrichim, the guy doesn't need it now, when's he going to need it? He's going to need it when he gets back up again. So you're showing that you're Mod B'tchias Amesim. If you look in Shin Nun Beis Aleph, the Shulchan Aruch writes, "Ein kovna meis b'tachrichim yikarim, afilu l'nasi shebiyisrael." So where does such an expression come from? Afilu l'nasi shebiyisrael, because Rabbi Gamliel. So we dafka highlight afilu l'nasi shebiyisrael. And the Shach writes in Sifkan Aleph, "Mishum tikun ha'olam shani emeni michal nasos kein, v'gam mishum gasas aruach v'ashchasa v'kasu b'darkei Moshe v'agos drishu b'shem nukeos v'perkel megalchin kalos etachrich nam l'meis." Makirim bo shu mode betchias amesim v'tavol of bracha. Umayri shabegid pishton ye na'av. Al kei na'agu k'tzas lachzor achar ha'yafa. Avu b'chashuv miyosu midai v'aday osir. So the Shach sort of threads the needle a little bit over here for us. On the one hand, you have a beferish gemara. Don't make fancy takrichin. Nothing fancy, nothing expensive. On the other hand, the Mukhe Yosef that the Ramah quotes favorably is telling us that you should have very nice takrichim because that shows the emunah and tchias amesim. So the Shach says, nice but simple, meaning nothing elaborate, nothing fancy, but it should be nice within a certain realm of simplicity, right? What do they say? Put the mace together well, right? When they describe someone who doesn't dress fancy, but you know, respectfully, he puts himself together well. You know, just always looks together. It doesn't mean that it's fancy and expensive. The Gemara in Nida, Daf Chaf Amar Aleph, tells us that Rabbi Yanai instructed his children not to bury very, so that's as far as we've discussed the material that it's supposed to be made out of. Nothing, no gold, no silver, no jewelry, nothing like that. Just pishtan, simple clay pishtan, and it should just look nice. The Gemara Nida tells us Rabbi Yannai told his children about the color that he wanted to be buried in. Lo tikperuni bekelim levan, shemelo eskeveya kachosin ben avin. Don't bury me in white kelim, because who knows, maybe I won't be zocha to be among those who are wearing white, and I'll be like a dressed, I'll be totally inappropriate. I'll be dressed up like a chassan among the avelim. The chassan wears white, wears a kittel. V'lo b'shchorim shema ezkeveya ka'avel ben achassanim. And don't bury me in black, because maybe I'll be zeicher, I'll be among the people who wear white, and it will be totally inappropriate. I'll look like an avel among the chassanim, because an avel wears black. Rather, what should you bury me in? Bekelim tzavuin, that you should bury me with partially colored clothing, you know, that way it doesn't stand out too much in one direction or the other. The Ramban says that the minhag nevertheless is to use white and v'chein roi lasos, and that's why in Sif Beis over here in Simshin Nun Beis nagu likvar bibgadim levan, and we dafka use white clothing. Now in the Eva Rabasi Perik Yud Beis says that in terms of who does the preparing of the body for kvura, that an ish is eino korich u'mekasheri isha, but an isha can be karechas u'mekasheres ha'ish. A man should not dress the woman for burial, but a woman can dress a man for burial. And Shulchan Aruch, Siv Gimel, exactly that. Quotes directly the line from that price. And now it's Pashut Lechora that the reason is because of Hirhurim. And a woman, we assume, is not going to have Hirhurim. And that's what the Shach writes in Sivkat and Beis. Mishum Hirurav will be Isha Leke Hirakol Kach. That by an Isha, there's no great concern of Hirhurim. That's why, meaning by the Isha doing the dressing of a deceased man, there's no real concern of Hirhurim. The Aruch HaShulchan writes that he saw that there are those that have a minhag for the son to be korech hagura over his mother and to tie it, meaning to dress his mother in the tachrichin, or a husband to do so for a wife. And the Aruch Shulchan says, you know, it doesn't really make any exceptions in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says a man shouldn't do it for a woman. He said, l'chora, the basis of the, so the Aruch Shulchan says, not right, it's not proper to do this, but the basis for the minhag is because if the whole concern is hirur, so it's unlikely that a son will have hirurim for a mother, or that the husband, alishto, and Beprat, when it's a time like that of such profound sadness and such a profound avelus, but nevertheless, the Aruch HaShulchan says we shouldn't make up our own svaras that are against Divrei Chazal. So if Chazal tell us that a man doesn't do it for a woman, that's it. So you have a women's Chavar Kadisha and a men's Chavar Kadisha, a man doesn't do it, doesn't prepare a woman's body for burial, no matter who the woman is, no matter who the man is. The Rambam in the fourth paragraph of Hilchos Avil writes that the Minhag Yisrael is by Mesim Ukvurasan, is that ma'amtsin einov shel mace, that we close the eyes of the mace, and if his mouth opens up, we close his jaw, we tie his jaw shut, and pokekim nekavav, so after we rinse him, we plug up the openings of his body so fluids don't come out, and we put different types of mine besamim on him, and gozes in sa'ara, we give him a haircut, and we dress him with tachrichin of pishtan levenim, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes all of this in Sif Dalid. Ma'atzim in of shameis, im niftach piv koshon l'chayav, upokin nekavav achashem edichnos v'minisam, v'gozin sa'ro. So people involved in Chevra Kadisha are familiar with these halachos. But it's more, I don't know, more important, but just as important as that which is mentioned in Shulchan Aruch as far as preparing the mace for burial, there are lots of, and those things that are based on Divrei Chazal, there are lots of elements of what the Chevra Kadisha does that are not really based on Divrei Chazal. Meaning nothing we've seen so far would be described as what we would normally think of as a tahara. It's just, you know, basically putting the mace together and preparing for burial. So a lot of the achronim have very elaborate descriptions of minhagim in order to prepare the mace for burial. Which is, by the way, the Ramah adds in Sif Dalid that we're madichim also b'kal malkim she'en naki mikol tuma v'tachon roshem beitzim trufim. Well, actually, let's get to the Ramah piece by piece. The Ramah says that we're madichim also to take care of the smell, that people shouldn't be disgusted when they have to handle the mace. The Chachmas Adam has a whole section, Matzevis Moshe, Hanhagas HaChevra Kadisha. He has a whole section of Hanhagas for HaChevra Kadisha. So in Oz Vav, he says that we should wash the entire body very well, particularly between his fingers, between his toes, and behind the ears, and to be Gozei's Rosho. And this is mentioned, as we said, in the Rambam, as far as being Gozei Sa'aro, that part is mentioned in the Rambam Nuchsavel as well, and to cut the fingernails as well. And he says that we should clean out the Piyat HaBa'as very well, and just be careful not to turn the mace on his face, because that's considered a Derech Bizayon. And he also says that there's no basis for the idea of applying pressure to his body to expel any waste that's there, and it's a das chitzoni. But if you want to do it, you can. You just know there's no reason to do it. The actual inyan of tahara, to pour over his head and his body, tisha kavin, which is mitirim from klipos, like it does from tumma, that's what we call tahara, right? That's also mentioned by the Chachmas Adam over there, that you should pour tisha kavin as part of the tahara process. The Ramah then goes on to say that we're tachin roshu bebeitzim trufos beklipasan, that we beitzim trufim beklipasan, that we sort of baste him with beaten eggs and their shell, and that's a simin because they were Ramah write shegilgul hu shechozer biolam, because beitzim are always a simin that what goes around comes around, and that eventually everyone dies, meaning that eventually everyone experiences avelus and everyone dies. Misa is just a fact of life. So that's what the Rama writes. But the Geshar Chaim in Parak Tes says that we're not knowing this. And Pischei Tshuva, Sivkan Dalit, he quotes Chassam Sofer that someone wanted to be mevatel the minhag of being mezalif alivrei ames beitzim uruv biyayin. They used to have such a practice that they would mix the eggs with wine and they would sprinkle it on the mace, and they wanted to be mevatel the practice. And the Chassam Sofer says you can't be mevatel the practice because beitzim are mentioned in the Rama and yayin is mentioned in the Mavar Yabok, so you have early sources that suggest both of them, so that's why we do both of them. And he says you can't be mevatel any minhagim. I mean, the point is that the Chassam Sofer is saying that when there are minhagim, as far as how to do this, none of this is Medina de Gemara, none of this is very clear exactly what the makar is to do all of these different things, but that, you know, Chevra Kadishas have their minhagim for centuries already. It's not so simple to just be mevatel their minhagim. You know, with the corona Tkufa that we had, Rav Schechter's initial instructions for Chevra Kadish was pretty much not to do a Tahara, meaning if they couldn't be confident that they do it safely. So it wasn't that there's no major halachic compelling reason on the other side to have to put the Chevra Kadish at risk to do all of these things. At this point they're already doing Taharas already again, and even on COVID patients they've trained Chevra Kadishas to protect themselves and to, I think they say that, Lemashal, I think the numbers have it that first responders have a lower rate of infection of coronavirus than others, and that's because they know how to dress up in a way where they protect themselves from the virus. Whereas you see other people, even when other people wear masks, you know, how many times do you see a person wearing a mask but it's below his nose? You know, the mask is covering the mouth, or it's like on the chin or something like that. You know, people don't even know how to, they're not used to these things, so they don't know how to do these things. But the Chevra Kadishas now have all been trained how to cover themselves up properly, and I think they're back to doing regular taharos. Pischei Tshuva quotes from Chachmas Adam that it's mechura davar to sprinkle mayim al ames. Chachmas Adam writes in Matzevus Moshe on Hagis Chevra Kadisha Oschas that it's mechukos ha'akum, and it's a midag mechur ma'od, and it's royal levatlo. He also doesn't like they would put a wooden stick in the mace's hand, because in general we're very makbid not to close the hand of the mace. That he wonders why they would close the fingers around such a thing that he would be holding on. He says we should be mevatel such a minag. You shouldn't put anything in his hand, and if you want to be machzik in the minag, so put it next to him, but don't put it in his fingers. Chassam Sofer though says minhagim, whatever their minhagim are, you can't question it and you can't be mevatel it. In Chachmas Adam Kal Kuf Nun Zayin, he does a little bit of an arichos about tahara, and he writes at the end of Hilchos Avelus, he has a special kuntros specifically for Chevra Kadishas, and he says over there that the Dinei Taros are not in the Gemara, they're not really so much in the Poskim, and therefore you have to be mevarer the minhagim, not to be mezalzel the minhagim, because you just have to know what the minhagim are. Meaning, there's no sugya you can learn that's going to prepare you to know how to do a tahara, to know how to prepare a mace for burial. The Geshar Chaim has a whole arichas also on these inyanim, and the Aruch HaShulchan writes that all of these things should be done b'tznius, because the neshama is makeres b'kavod aguf. The neshama has some sort of recognition of the dignity with which it's being treated. You'll hear this a lot of times. People will say, members of the Chevra Kadisha will tell the family, you should know we treated the body with the utmost dignity, especially if the nifter was a member of the Chevra Kadisha. So you wonder, like, who cares? I mean, what difference does it make? You did kavura, kavura is a mitzvah. But other than that, like, that the body was treated in X or Y way, that it was treated in such a way. But apparently that's something that matters, the Aruch HaShulchan writes, and it's something that the neshama is makir. And he says the minhag in certain cities, in Krakow, in Lvov, when other kihilos was that that even on Shabbos they were mazizin aver shelo yisakim umisatzmin enav b'Shabbos, and they said it's sakana yesh b'dav. I mean, they would close the eyes and they would straighten the limbs even on Shabbos, even though a mace technically is muktzah, that the mace should always have the utmost dignity. Pischei tshuva and sifkat and gimel kotzah chasam sofer, that they were knowing to do a tahara as close to the kavura as possible. But b'shas adchak, when there's a pekidas hamalchus, sometimes they have to be melin as a mace, and not a lot of people wanted to deal with a tahara if the guy's been dead for a few days. And again, this is referring to those times in history where they couldn't bury right away because there were rules, there were laws that the government placed because of the fear of people being buried alive. That was primarily what it was. So they would have to wait like a week before burying. So even though, really, l'chadchili, you should do the tahara as close to the kvur as possible, it's not so geshmak to do a tahara on a guy that's been dead for a week. So that's why they would they could do it a little bit earlier. So then we could be matir, says Chasam Sofer, to be matir and the love shall miyad, and then you'll do the halanas ameis, the yisra of halanas ameis, but that they had no choice in, as long as they're pore sadin alav and they remove that sadin after the kavura, in order to protect the begadim. Okay, let's get to some of the questions. That's all I got on Simon Shin Nun Beis. Let's see. Okay, family friend of mine is a doctor, said that people cannot get the virus from a mace. Oh, okay. Maybe that's why the Chevra Kadisha has been so well protected. I think Rabbi Zon told Rav Shechta, I think Rav Shechta wrote one of the tshuvas, Rabbi Zon told him that not a single member of a Chevra Kadisha got infected. So, you know, all across the country. So I think that was enough to convince him that we should bring back taros. How can that be true? If you drink the saliva of a mace, then you get anything there. Yeah, but I don't think they sneeze. So, it's, I guess, much less likely that you'll have the saliva. You know, most of it is not only about whether... It's about the transmission, right? It's about the transmission of, right? They say you can catch pretty much any disease from waste of a person, right? But we still use public toilets and we don't catch all these diseases all the time. Because they're made, flushing is made to wash this stuff away. So it's not just exposure, it's the ability to protect yourself from it. I thought the Balaam was to say that caring about kavod is bad. Why would a neshama care if people aren't makbid in its kavod? Kavod abrios. Thank you, Elinatan. I think that's what I would perhaps explain its importance in a different fashion, but shouldn't relate to whether or not the neshama cares. The expression that the neshama is watching, the neshama feels it, I'm not sure. I don't know what any of that really means. All I know is that it means that it is an actual inyan, that we're supposed to treat a mace with dignity. Simin Shin Mem Tes. Let's move back a little bit now. The Isser Hana'a Min HaMeis V'Tachrichav. So the Sugya in Sanhedrin Daf Mem Zayinam Beis. Meis V'Tachrichav Arasu Ba'ana'a. It's Machlokas Abai and Rava. If you're Oreg Beged the Meis, whether Hazmana Milsa or Hazmana Lav Milsa, right? If you prepare a Beged, is the Hazmana alone going to be considered to be to make it already Asu Ba'ana'a? Abai holds Hazmana Milsa, Rava holds Hazmana Lav Milsa, and this is not one of the Al-Kigam. We Paskin like Rava. Hazmana lav milsa. So if you make a beautiful beged for a mace, and then no one dies that day, and you're like, this would make a nice suit for chasen or something, so then you can wear it yourself. It's not a violation of an isra na'a. If you put it on the Gemara tells us, if you put it on the mace, but you didn't designate it specifically for the mace mitchila, it's not yet asir. Then there's the sugi of Avodah Zarah, Chaf Tes Amud Beis, where the Gemara derives from Gzeira Shava, Sham Sham, Me Egla Arufa, that the mace is asir b'hana'a midah raisa. And even a mace akum, the Beis Yosef writes in the name of the Rashba, Simen Shin Mem Tes, mace akum are also asir b'hana'a. Sounds like midah raisa. The Mechaber in Simen Shin Mem Tes says that even mace akum are asir b'hana'a, right? That's what the Mechaber writes. Mace, bain, akum, bain, Yisrael, Tachrich Vasur Bana, Vidavka Shizmin Sarkov, Nasmulav of Basmanalavada, Filosam Sarkolach Rashmais, Lo Nesu Dasmanalav Milsav, Chenim Nasmulav Lozminam Lakach Mitchila, Adayan Lo Nesu. So that's all, everything we just said, all of these sugyas right there in the first Si'if in Simon Shin Mem Tes. But the Nukut Sakesiv just points out that many Rishonim disagree with this and hold that only Mesa Yisrael are Asabana, Mesa Yakov are not Asabana. The Rachashulchan writes in Sif Gimel that Lechora Raya, that Mesa Yakum are Mutter Bana, is from Yerushalmi in the 10th parak of Masechah Shabbos, that tells us that a Mace Mitzri is Mutter Bana, and also a Raya that David was Mekadesh with Arlos of Plishtim, with May Arlos Plishtim that he used to be Mekadesh. That's what the Gra writes over here in Sif Katan Aleph, right? Where's the Gra? Avla Rashba, Kazabash, Mesa Vichav, Mutter Bana. Tosfos, yeah, it's somewhere here. It's a long gra. So he says that based on David HaMelech, we also see that that apparently it was Mutar Bana, because if it was Asur Bana, it's not a Shavu Pruta, and he can't be Mekadesh Nisha with it. So if you're Mekadesh Nisha with the Arlos of Plishtim, then it must be that it's Mutar Bana. In Rav Avadya, in Yabia Omer, in Chelek Aleph Simul Chav Dalid, Os Yud Aleph, quotes a Chuvas Rav Pa'olim, Chelek Dalid Yerodea Simul Lamed Zayin, who quotes, in turn, a Beis David, Simon Kuf Ayin, that when the Shulchan Aruch says, Bein Goy, that when the Shulchan Aruch says, Mace, Bein Goy, Bein Yisrael, different nuskhas, whether you have Goy, or Akum, or Ovi Kachavim, when he says, Bein Goy, it's a Tau Sofer, because in the Beis Yosef, it's not mentioned at all. So how did it get into Shulchan Aruch if he didn't even mention that in the Beis Yosef? So the Kesef Mishnah, the Beis Yosef in the Kesef Mishnah in Parakeh of Hilchas Arachin and Halachat HaZayin writes that a Mace Goy is Mutar Bana. So the Rav Palim writes that Vaday Lefiya Emes, that's not true. You can't say that this is a Tal Sofer, because it's Rachok Ma'o to say that a Tal Sofer managed to creep its way into every version of Shulchan Aruch that ever existed, and all the Sifrei Halavush, where it also says Bein Goy, Bein Yisrael. So obviously, Shulchan Aruch is quoting from the Tshuvas HaRashba, and that which he writes in Kesef Mishnah must have been before he saw that Tshuvas HaRashba, and therefore it is perfectly valid line in Shulchan Aruch. It is not something that we should question whatsoever. Pesachei Tshuva and Sivkat Nalav of Yer quotes from many poskim that Meis Yisrael is asur b'hana'a midaraisa, Meis Akum is only asur b'hana'a midrabanan, meaning that they're both asur b'hana'a, but they're different levels of isra hana'a. So it's not an all or nothing. And therefore, if you have someone who's a chol hashem bo sakana, and the doctors say that you need to take a bone from a mace to be poel some sort of refuah, or from tachriche a mace, you could take the etzem from an akum for such a purpose, because it's an issur drabanan, so you could be makel when it's a tzarech of a chol hashem bo sakana. Which makes it interesting, because in Tshuva Sri De'esh, Yerodea Simen Tzad Gimel, he writes that it's asur to be markiv or shal ayin meis al or shal adam iver kedei l'raposo. To use skin from the eye, from a person's eye, from a dead person's eye, to be merape, a person who's blind, in order to enable him to see. So he says, the Sri De'esh says asur, and he brings other poskim that are mekel. L'charen manafshach, if it's meis akum, it should be mutter for a chol hashem v'sakana, and if it's a meis yisrael, it should be vaday asur, because it's nisadar raisa. He says, and then he says also that only someone who's summa b'shteyenov is considered a chola. I don't know if there's a makar for that chiddush. That seems like quite a chiddush, right? I would think even ayin achas is considered sakanas aver. Right, shteyanayim, some of the poskim write, even though Rav Shachta doesn't like it, some of the poskim say the shteyanayim is considered pikuach nefesh mamish because the sumas chash of kemes. But to say that only shteyanayim is considered to be a chola. In Rav Shturmbach, in Shuvas Van Hagos, Chela Gimel, Simon Shin Samach Taz, he talks about a cornea. And he says, L'maisa, if the mace is a mace Yisrael, and you can't get it from a mace Akum, and the Yisrael gives Rishus for it, so you're allowed to take it from him. And the Svarah to be matir is that the Yisrael now from a mace is not like most other Yisuri Hana'a Shabbatorah, where you're not allowed to use something for your Hana'a because it's Ma'us, like Avodah Zarah, or something like that. No, a mace isn't Pagum. A mace is kadosh, and it's because of its kedusha that you're not allowed to use it for your own hana'a. And therefore, when you're using it with tzarchei kodesh, it's mutter, and a charedi Jew, what's he going to use his eyes for? To see the sitter and to see the svarim? It's all for kedusha. It's such a weird tshuva, no? The whole thing. Chelukim b'sim shin samuch tas. And I don't think I'm making this up. You look it up. That it's not a violation of the Yisra'a Nam in a mace because you're using it for Kedusha purposes, and that's not called an Yisra'a Hana. That seems like a very, very strange thing to say. And also, you're going to be made that you know that every Haredi Jew is only using his eyes for the good. Even if you were to accept the premise. So that seems a little bit of an odd thing to say, but it's on the books. That's what Rav Sturmbach writes. So let's see what the comments are here. Okay. Bedek Habayis quoted the Shulchan Aruch, but yeah. What would be the purpose of the rabbis assuring a non-Jewish body Bahana? I mean, why would the Rabbanan come along and do it? Like any other, I imagine, like any other Geder or Gezerah. The less you come to treat Jewish bodies that way, or something of that nature. If a guy is nisid rabbanan, would it be okay to use a cadaver in medical school? Oh, so that's what Ben was responding to. Rav Shechta told me cadavers in med school is mutter because it's tzorich mitzvah. Yeah, cadavers in medical school becomes a much more complicated issue when you have a chashash that it might be a Jewish cadaver. But we'll discuss that as well, Bezrus Hashem. Not right now, because that's like a whole separate, it's an independent topic. Let's see what else. Fry Moretzky. Maybe if the premise is correct, then that is not under what the definition of Hana'a is, since it's all for Hashem and not for oneself. Yeah, but when do we ever have Yisuri Hana'a that you're letter? I don't know. Yeah, I know, Ben Rishat would say that about non-Jewish characters. Famous story of the cadaver in Rav Tandler's office. Noah, you want to fill me in? I don't know the famous story of the cadaver in Rav Tandler's office.
Apparently Rav Tandler used to have a cadaver in his office in his office, and like it was a big issue with Tuma because the cadaver was in the same building as, I guess, like people like Kohanim. I don't know, and there was some like svara that he came up with for why it was like totally fine to have a cadaver in
Rabbi
his office.
Rabbi Tendler, okay. Rabbi Tendler he definitely has his shittos about Tuma's Kohanim and the Halachas of Tumah. I think I heard this year they made him clear out one of his offices, so they had to like remove like boxes of bones and stuff from one of his. He literally had skeletons in his closet. So I think that happened this year. So, let's get to Noi HaMeis. The Gemara in Arach in Dav Zayin HaMebeis tells us that Noi HaMeis that are mechuber to the guf, like a Pea Nochris, which is some sort of shetel that's sort of like intertwined with the hair, is usher like the mace itself, unless mace was mitzaveh to leave this Noi HaGuf for his children or for some other purpose. But things that are connected to the guf itself are usur, or parts of the body itself are usur, even if he's mitzava otherwise. The Beis Yosef in Shin Mem Tes quotes a Shitas HaRambam in the 12th parak of Hilchos Sanhedrin and the Smag in Hilchos Avel that Seyar HaMeis is mutter ba'ana. So Beis Yosef says doesn't understand why that would be the case, and therefore in Shulchan Aruch he paskins that it's also banal. So Nekudas HaKesef just points out that if you're medakte ketiv b'kol ha-sugya, you'll see that the Rambam is really correct, that it's really mutar banal. It could be that there's a chilik between Seira Omei Legazes and Seira She'enu Omei Legazes, but kol ha-migaz kegazes dami as opposed to that which is still considered to be mechubar. The Rashi in Masech Sarachan over there writes that on Peya, he says, when we talk about the Peya, when you talk about the Sheitel, he says, Pirush Shekshurin Bisa'ara, that it's tied into the hair. So the Darkei Moshe is Medayek in Shin Mem Tes Aleph, that if it's not Kashur into the hair, then it's Mutter. And he says, and based on this, the minig is to take the rings off of Mason, because that's not called Mechubar Lugufo. It's not tied into anything. It's just on the body. So you're allowed to remove the rings from a person who dies. And that's what the Ramah writes over here in Sif Beis, right? Noya Mason Mechubar Lugufo Gon Peh Anach Siyotzi Ba'asurim Kuma Mesa Atzmo V'daf K'shem K'shurim B'sar So that's what the Rama writes. However, this is really a machlokas, because the Bach says that it doesn't need to be kosher mamish to be a problem. And the Shach quotes this in Sif Katan Gimel over here. He says, "Abach pasuk dafilu kluim betocham ve'enam kshurim asurim elak she'enam kshurim baklal da'ainu detali b'sichtum mutarim." If it's a chain hanging around their neck or something like that, that would be mutter. But if it's attached in any reasonable way to the body, even if it's not literally tied on, the Shach quotes from the Bach that it's going to be asur, and therefore you cannot remove rings from the body. The Aruch HaShulchan is machriya, that if it's woven in with the hair, that's considered mechushav, that's considered mechubar rather, like the Bach, and you don't need mechushav mamish if it's spun together with the hair in some way, even if it's not mechushar, but taba'us, the Aruch HaShulchan says minigiz were mekel, and it's not considered mechubar, you can remove the rings from the mace. Pischei Tshuva and Sivka and Dalit says the Bechor Shar was medayik, that if there's some sort of noish, shalzav or margolios, that is kosher on the mace, you know, some fancy jewelry, that it's also about not even if they're attached on really well, because the Rosh writes in the beginning of Chulin that when it says kshira by tefillin, it means to be mahadek al yado, that you attach it to the arm. And then, so it turns out, you know, meaning if the definition of kshira by tefillin is that you just need to, we don't paskin that you need to untie your tefillin knots every single day and then retie them onto your hand. We paskin, you just need to, tighten them, tighten the tefillin onto your hand. And if that's the case, apparently the definition of kshira is just to fasten it onto your arm. So maybe we could say based on that, that even just that which is fastened onto the mace is also considered asur. So then he's docha that chumra, and he says, nah, the kind of tachshitin that are asur are only those tachshitin that are ke'en gufo. Meaning Pe'a Nachris was not just an example, it was of a common type of thing that you would find on a body. Pe'a Nachris is an example of the type of thing that would be problematic on a body, something that's meant to mimic an actual part of the human body, like hair or like a false tooth or something like that. But other tachshitin, but you know, rings, jewelry, gold, silver, things like that, gems, we don't find that we're machmir in that. That's what the Pischei Tshuva writes. And since the Rambam and the Smag are makel even by Pei Anachris, so certainly you have plenty to be makel with when it comes to jewelry. In Geshra Chai, in Periches, Osbeis, he says Dafka Pei Anachris, that's attached to the hair, L'shem Kvius, is a problem. But if she would always put on and take off her sheitel, it would come on and off very easily, like our kinds of sheitelach, then it would not be something that becomes asur b'ana. So that would be mutter. In Geshra Chaim, he also writes Parches Ozayin that many have the minhag not to wear shoes of a mace. But not because of an Isra'na. That's a separate issue. That's because of other chashashos. That's based on the Sefer Chasidim, that it's a chashash sakana to wear shoes of a mace. So he quotes from Tzvi Pesach Frank over there that there was a Tal Sofer that must have happened in the Sefer Chassidim, because everyone thinks the Sefer Chassidim say you're not allowed to wear shoes of a person who died. Someone I know recently who passed away from COVID, the children called me up and they said, yeah, the fellow was a very well-dressed man, and he had a very impressive closet, and it's such a waste of all these nice clothing. You know, here's a person, all his clothing was new, he was always updating his wardrobe, and a lot of very fancy pairs of shoes. So they wanted to know, are they allowed to give it to somebody? Can they donate the shoes? So Sefer Chassidim, it sounds like he says that it's you're not allowed to wear shoes of a mace. So the Tzvi Pesach Frank just was ma'orer that it probably doesn't mean, it was probably a typo, probably doesn't mean a shoe of a mace, but middle shel mesa. And what he's referring to is Gemara in Chulin Daf Tzadi Dalid. Gemara in Chulin Tzadi Dalid says, Lo yimkar adam sandal shel mesa, that you don't sell a shoe that whose leather was from an animal that died on its own. Meaning, as Ramesha explains in the Tshuva, the assumption is that there was some sort of disease. The leather itself was diseased. So you don't want to give that on to the next person. But if that's the case, then there's absolutely no makar for the minug not to give away the shoes of a mace. I think Rav Meisha, when he discusses the tzava of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid and which of the things we follow from Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid and which ones we don't, you know, there are lots of things. Not to marry someone whose father has the same name as you. Not to, you know, all of these certain relatives, not to marry each other that the Gemara is encouraging of, and the Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid was against, you know, closing up windows, all of these things. So Rav Moshe writes that certainly those things that we could figure out why he was concerned, and we can address those concerns, then that you wouldn't have to be choshesh. So if I'm not mistaken, if I recall correctly, Rav Moshe writes, with the shoe thing, he probably thought that you have to be choshesh, that there's some sort of disease that could be transmitted through the sweat of the feet. So if you're going to put on the shoes that have the sweat, you know, it's you could spray all the stuff that they do in the bowling alley, but come on, the sweat is still in there, and it's embedded in the shoes, so you don't want to wear such shoes. But if you know that the fellow died of, you know, lo aleinu, of cancer, right? You know that the fellow died, you know what he died of, and it doesn't pass through the sweat of the feet. So if that's the case, then it would not be a problem. That's what Rav Moshe writes, if I recall correctly. Someone can find the tshuva and make sure I'm quoting that correctly. I did not look it up. The Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Memches says that if Kalim touched the mita that the mace is buried in, then it's asaba na, because it would be michlefi betachriche mace. It would be easily confused for the tachrichen themselves. So the Rush in Simenayin Tes says only those things that are put there with the intention of burying it with him. But if you put a mace on a mattress, or you put a kar or keses under his head, or you spread a sheet over him, or a talus over the aron, or over the mita, that you bring him as you bring him to burial, you know, you spread a flag over the coffin or something like that. He was, you know, a soldier or something like that. So then it's not going to become ne'asar, because it's evident that they put it there me'ikara only to bring the mace to the burial, but not to actually bury him with it. And Beis Yosef and Shin Mem Tes quotes from Ban and Torah Adam that if you take something and you put it over a mace and it doesn't belong to him, then it doesn't asr it, because ain't no the moser davar she'eno shalo. So you can't ask for something that doesn't belong to you or him, and just put it there. The Torah also quotes from Nevel Rabasi that mitzvah lahatzil kelim, that people are zorik ala mace. I mean, it's a terrible baltashchis that people are going to get rid of things and they're just going to throw it on the mace. So try to stop people from doing that. Anyone who does it, the Torah writes, is over mishum baltashchis. And shin mem tes, all this is quoted in Si'ifim Gimel and Dalit, right? In Siv Dalit, kol amar b'kelim ala mace, or is over mishum baltashchis. Rav Pam's grandson told me that when Rav Pam died, they threw his Mishnah Brura in with him. They wanted Rav Pam was always studying the Sfarim of the Chafetz Chaim. He loved the Sfarim of the Chafetz Chaim. The people used to refer to Rav Pam, the closest Talmud refers to him as the Chafetz Chaim of his generation, meaning he built his personality pretty much after that of the Chafetz Chaim, and he was obsessed with the Mishnah Brura. So they put his Mishnah Brura in with him. And then right after the Levaya, the family said, What in the world did we just do? He had all of his notes on the side of his Mishnah Berurah. Can you imagine what a treasure that was? Rav Pam's notes and Rav Pam's Ha'aros throughout on the entirety of the Mishnah Berurah. And that it just highlights the point that sometimes the family is so... they're so emotional that they're not thinking straight. They're not acting in a way that when they come to their senses, they're going to realize that they made a mistake. So you don't want them just throwing things at the mace as if to say life is not worth living and therefore nothing I have is of any value and I don't need any of the stuff, because eventually they will need stuff. They're going to need stuff again. Oh, Jakey found the Igros Moshe. Does he say what I said he says? Anyone know? Let's see. How does Rav Shturmach Shuvah make sense? The Mechaber says straight out that anything that's attached to the body of the mace are asur, even if the mace is mitzaveh. Even if the mace is mitzaveh, yeah, what does that have to do with mace being mitzaveh? I mean, he's just saying that that if you use it for a davar shel kedusha, it's not considered a violation of hanam in a mace. Perhaps the Sri Deish is passing like the Yaivitz, and Tzemach Tzedek, that may say Akum Arasa Vanada Oraisa, which is also the way Ginas Radim sounds in his Tshuva and the Kajjaman. You also have to look at exactly different parts of a mace, you know, the cornea, what exactly that is. That Ormina mace? Ormina mace may be a little bit different. Okay, but as far as this right now goes, I hear. What about someone who has a wig, not a shetel, that's glued to her head? What if this wig could be reused for another woman who can't grow hair? Yeah, so Pashtus is that's exactly what they're talking about, right? If it's mamish glued to the head, so then it becomes like the body itself, and then it's subject to that machlokas l'chora. Oh, Shaky actually quoted the tshuva. Let's see. Okay. But dafka blow yadu mi mames to be yadu shemes mi machla shalom mistabekes ein lachush to lo mistaver shas minalim shal kol mes bishvil gzeir the minalim shal mishli. Okay, so I quoted it correctly, I think. Right, meaning a guy gets hit by a car and dies. You don't say, oh, maybe it was a disease that gets passed through the shoe. No, Pashtus not. Pashtus was the 18-wheeler that rammed into him at 70 miles an hour, right? That killed him. Okay, one more topic for today, and that is Klayim and Tzitzis on Tachrichei Ames. The Mishnah in the last parak of Maseches Klayim says that Tachrichei Ames could be made out of shatnis, and Shulchan Aruch and Shinon Aleph Sif Aleph says exactly that. Tachrichei Ames mutar la'asosan miklayim. As far as whether you need tzitzis, so the Gemara Menachos and Daf Mem Aleph Amar Aleph says that ahi shaita vade raminalei mishum loig larash cheref osei. It says explicitly you would put tzitzis on because otherwise it's a loig larash that you're mocking the mace that he doesn't have tzitzis. So it sounds from the Gemara Menachos Mem Aleph that we do put tzitzis on the mace. But in Brachos, Yud Chesam and Aleph says that a person has to remove his tzitzis when he goes into the Beis HaKavaros, in order at least not let them drag on the floor, because Kadesh Shelo Yomru L'machar Boim Etzleinu V'achshav Maligim Aleinu. That the Mesim shouldn't have a taina on you, or that you think you're such big stuff that you're able to do mitzvahs. Tomorrow you're going to be with us, and now you're mocking us. So the rush, so it seems like, well, which is it? Meaning if the mace is wearing the tzitzis anyway, so why is it like the rush when I wear tzitzis and I go visit a cemetery? He's also wearing tzitzis, so why should it be a problem? So the rush in Simon Pei, in the third parak of my Katan, writes that you have to be matil tzitzis on the tachrichin, and even so, when live people are wearing tzitzis in front of the mason, it's lowing the rush, because the mason don't have a kiyum mitzvah when they're wearing tzitzis. Hayom la'asosam, l'macho l'kabel scharam, they're not doing a mitzvah, so if they're not doing a mitzvah, it's still a loig l'rash. The Ramban is quoted by the tour that there's no suffix over here, and you can only bury a mace in a talis yesh bo tzitzis. So the Rush just wonders why it is that we have a minhag that we take off the tzitzis from the talis of a mace. The Rush says that's the minhag that we take off. We'll get to why there's no issur of klayim Now, we take off the tzitzis of Talis of Meis, so the Rush quotes four answers to this question. Meaning, if the Gemara says that you're supposed to put tzitzis on the Talis of Meis because of Loig LaRush, and we can explain how it could be reconciled very easily with the Gemara and Brachos, so why would we remove the tzitzis? So Rabbeinu Tam quotes from the Ziknei Lotir that the tzitzis is an edus that is Mekayim Kala Torah Kula, and our generation there's no one that's worthy of such an edus. The Ledorosam, written Chasers Ledor Tam, that tzitzis are meant as a sign that's dafka for a Dor Tam, not for a Dor like ours. Then he quotes a Ri that in the old days when they would all wear tzitzis while they were alive, so then they put tzitzis on the dead person as well. But Bismaneinu, where a lot of people don't wear tzitzis when they're alive, so you're going to put tzitzis on the begadim of the people after they're dead, that's the greatest Loig LaRush. It's making a whole mockery of him. That his entire life he had the ability to wear tzitzis and he never did, and now you're putting on tzitzis when it's too late. So what's the other option? You're going to put tzitzis on guys who wore tzitzis while they were alive, but not on people who didn't wear tzitzis when then it will be a busha. So Darkei Moshe, Shinun Aleph, Os Aleph, quotes from the Arzarua, and Hilchsavel, Sim Tav Chaf Aleph, in the name of the Rav Yah, that someone who is Ragil B'tzitzis Mechayev, we do put tzitzios on, and from everyone else, we do not. We take the tzitzis off. And that's what the Rav Yah Pasan Alach L'maisa, and Roy Lismachalov says Darkei Moshe Kibal Horaos Haya. He was a big posik, so you can rely on the Rav Yah. A third possibility, the Rush quotes from the Ri, that there's a smach from Maseches Smachos that it says over there. That Abba Shaul was mitzave his children to be matir the tcheles from his talis. So there are a lot of places where we paskin like Svarim Chitzonim against the Gemara, against Shas Shalanu, and this is one such example, that even though the Gemara says he should wear tzitzis, but since Maseches Machos it says that Abba Shaul told his children, take the tcheles off, and whenever we say tcheles in Devarei Chazal, it never means just tcheles, it always means tzitzis, so you see that such a practice existed, and maybe we pass them that way. And then the fourth answer the Rush gives from Rabbeinu Yehuda miParis, that he says that there's a Gemara Menachos, that you need to be Matil Tzitzis on Techricha Emes, but that's only if you hold, and this gets back to the Kalayim issue, that's only if you hold Ein Mitzvos Petelos Las Lava. The Gemara at the end of Nida discusses whether Mitzvos Petelos Las Lava or not, and the Mitzvah is still going to be relevant after Techricha Semesim. We paskin mitzvos betelos lasalavo. So therefore, we don't leave him with the tzitzis, and we can leave him with the shatnas for the same reason, because he doesn't need the mitzvos. There's not going to be any mitzvos lasalavo. Balamar writes the name of Yitzchak ben Malki Tzedek, that when they would carry a mace to burial, they would put tzitzis on his clothing, so that it shouldn't be a bizayin that the nosei mace are mutafim betalisos mitziyatzin, and the mace is going without tzitzis. But then when they would bury him, they would untie it, and they would take it off right before burial, because mitzvos betalos lasalavo. So they would sort of do both, meaning to avoid the loig larush problem of the other people wearing tzitzis and the mace not, that's only a problem when other people are around. So when they're actually schlepping the body, so then they would keep tzitzis on. But then when it came time to actually put him in the ground, they would remove the tzitzis at that point. The Rush then says that they said about Rabbeinu Gershom that B'shas Misaso, he said, Hatzitzis Chutz. And they just had no idea what that meant, because it's a very vague way of saying whatever you want to say. Did he mean that they should take off the tzitzis from the talis, or that they should have the tzitzis sticking out of the aron? And there are some that have such a minhag, that they have the tzitzis sticking out of the aron, because Rabbeinu Gershom might have said that with his dying breath. He said something about hatzitzis chutz, an odd story that the Rush quotes. So Beis Yosef quotes from the Mordechai in Sim Tav Tav Samach Gimel that it's a good idea to remove from the Arba Kanfos and to tie them all on one of the, to remove the tzitzis from the four corners and tie them all on one of the corners. So how do we pass in Shulchan Aruch? So in Shinun Aleph, Si'if Beis, Shulchan Aruch writes, Ein Kovenas Hameis Ela Betalis She'yesh Bo Tzitzis. But then the Rama writes, V'yesh Omrim, De Ein Tzarech Tzitzis, V'nagu L'kavro Betzitzis, Ach She'polsen T'chila Tzitzis, O Korchun Echon Menak Knafos. The Rama says the practice is that he's wearing a talis, but we passel the tzitzis. chances before we put him in the ground, before we bury him. There's discussion, in some of the later poskim. So you want to bury him in his talis, right? A lot of times they want to bury the person in his talis. Should you bury him in his Shabbos talis or in his weekday talis? Is tadir or mekudash adif in that sense? Do you assume a Shabbos talis is more mekudash or weekday talis more tadir? Usually they just grab whatever the family doesn't have time to really think about it much. They just grab a talis. But we got emails during the COVID pandemic when it was at its worst. That the Chever Kadishas were out of Talesim, that they needed more Talesim, so people were bringing donating Talesim to the cause. So that was like one of the most jarring emails I've ever gotten. Never thought you'd live through a time where death would be so rampant that the Chever Kadishas didn't have enough Talesim. The Aruch HaShulchan in Siv Gimel says that the Minhag HaPashut B'chol Tfutzas Yisrael is that they carry the mace with tzitzis, and then before they put them in the kever, they sever one of the corners of the tzitzis, and the minhag, he says, is to detach it in the house before their motzi l'kvura, but better to do it right before the kvura. And then he says an unbelievable story. He says, "V'shamati this Aruch HaShulchan, v'shamati bebirur al shnei gedolei ador." Echot siva echot mitalmidav sheyikbru oso b'chol tzitziosav v'oso talmik sheyigil l'albashas tachrichin chash b'meah v'yatzu chutz v'osim shal bishu lo yadu mizeh v'notku achas me'atzitzis k'nahug v'tekev nechmas oso talmik v'hischu litzok v'amra gadolim shayu sham shazohu osim min ha-shamayim l'bli l'shanos. That the Gadol had said he wants to be buried with all four tzitzios intact, and the Talmud, who was instructed to do that, left the room. He had a stomach ache as they were about to prepare the tachrichim, and he left the room. By the time he came back, they had already snipped off one of the corners. And the Gedolim said that it's a simon yashamayim, that's the way it's supposed to be done. The Aruch HaShulchan likes telling these kinds of stories. You ever see the Aruch HaShulchan stories about why we don't do birchas kohanim and chutz laaretz? There are all these stories that happened. The min hashamayim was a simon, it's not supposed to be done. So the second story, he says, kishinichu bekeverim kol atzitzis nistabcha achas me'atzitzis biyachad shebetoch hakever v'nitra The other story was that the Gadol wanted to be buried with the tzitzis, and then it got puzzled as they were buried, got caught on something and got puzzled as they were burying him. So the first story was the Gra, and he says the second story was Hachosid Moharazal Mehuradna, the Baal Yisod V'Shorish HaAvoda, that also wanted to be left with all of his tzitzios. That's what it says in Aruch HaShulchan. So Pischi Tshuva and Siv Katan Aleph quotes a Tshuva's Yaivitz in Chelek Aleph, Simon Kof Chav Dalil, that someone who's not able to be Mekayim in the midst of Tzitzitz Bechayev because of an Ones, it could be that you're not supposed to bury him in the Talis, because that would be an extra Loig L'Rush. He quotes in Sifkat and Gimel in the name of the Yaivitz in Simon Kof Samach Vav, that you could be Malbush Ames with a new Talis that was not made L'Shem Mitzvah, unlike those who say that he should only be with the talis that he wore during his lifetime to be mekayim the mitzvah of tzitzis, meaning, there's such a minhag to make the coffin out of a person's dining room table, right? That is, his mitzvos should be there to be made for him. So it makes sense, you would imagine, that to have him wear the talis that he wore, he was mekayim the mitzvah with this talis, so you want to dress him in such a talis that it would be appropriate, that it's sort of like being made on his account. But that's what the Pesach Yitzchuv was saying, Sivkan Gimel, that it's not necessary. If you want to use some other talis or whatever talis Chever Kadisha has around, it's not necessary to use the same talis. Just as a matter of practical halacha, in terms of what we actually do, so a lot of this is fun. You could talk all about Lo'eg L'Rash and what the Gedarim of Lo'eg L'Rash are, and Mitzvot Pteos Lasad Lavo, and what exactly it means, and when Lasad Lavo is. It's all Leibedik, but, as far as like burying the guy, so what do we actually do? So in Halicha Shlomo, in Hilchos Tfila, they quote that Rav Shlomo Zalman says in the Miluim at the end of the Sefer in Simon Beis that the minhag of Bnei Chutz La'aretz is that they remove the tzitzis from one of the corners in order that the living should be mitztayer from the mace. They should feel the loss that Nebuch is unable to do mitzvahs anymore, because had he while he was alive, he'd be able to make a mitzvah with this beged, and now he's not, so they keep the beged on him, and they dafka make a point that it's no longer usable for a mitzvah, and they're mefarsim b'osasha that now he's patur mina mitzvos in order to be ma'orer tsar. But he says the minigur shalayim is that they don't bury the tzitzis at all. Because it could be that tchias amesim will happen right away, and you don't want him to get up with the beggar of dalet kanfos without tzitzis. So that's going to be not nice to him, that he's going to wake up right away, and he's going to have a, before it has time, all the, everything decomposes and everything, and he's going to wear, the beggar is not going to have biodegraded or whatever, probably, and he'll wake up with this talus that has the dalet kanfos and doesn't have tzitzis. I don't know what they do, like when a mace is sent from Chutz Laaretz Teretz Yisrael. I don't have much experience with Chevra Kadishas. Like, I wonder if they prepare the mace differently because they know that the mace is going to Eretz Yisrael to be buried in Yerushalayim, and that Minig Yerushalayim is different. I'm sure they have a system. I just don't know what that system is. My guess is that the Chevra Kadish in Yerushalayim does not just bow to whatever the Minig in Chutz Laaretz is, knowing the nature of Yerushalmi Minhagim. They probably insist on following those minhagim. Are women also better with tzitzis? I don't think so. Why isn't there a concern for tchias hamesim for the klayim? So yeah, I think right. Meaning, if you hold that mitzvos pitalos lasalavos, I understand that there's no concern whatsoever. Right, that's the source of it. Is that sugya is right? That's the sugya in the nida is about shatness. Right, it's about whether you bury a mace in shatness. So that's the nafkamina, is mitzvah, between mitzvah tehillos laslava and mitzvah not being tehillos laslava. Noah writes, Rabbi Mon Sefer, he wrote to me privately, Rabbi Mon Sefer has these types of details of kavura. Yeah. Good. Thank you. Get back to me. Let me know about that. There are separate svarim that they have for chevra kadishas that, you know, will go through all the minhagim and what to do. You know, just to give an idea, you know, hopefully for most rabbis, most of this is not nogea. You know, there's a chevra kadisha that handles these things, and they're following them and hugging them and what they've been doing for 100 years. The mace is wearing a kittel under the talus. If tchias hamesim happened right away, couldn't he just take it off? Yeah, but for that moment, till he got his bearings, you know, and realized that he's wearing a baguette of dalet kanfos, I guess. You know, you don't want him to. I don't know. It's hard to like talk about, you know, in real terms of like what this means and what he's going to feel like. You know, I would think he's pretty ecstatic just to wake up, you know, but I don't know. Okay, we'll stop there. Everyone should have a wonderful Yontif, a wonderful Shabbos, great Chag of Kabbalah Satorah, and Bezus Hashem, we'll be back on Sunday. Okay? All right, have a great day, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.